Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by John Donovan and Longhorn Wealth Management Group. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined each and every morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. Guys, we are 61 days away from kickoff, but more importantly, 0 days away from Texas having a new conference home. They are now officially in the SEC, along with Oklahoma. And Bobby, I'm going to let you introduce this clip since y'all were there while I get it ready and cue it up here.
Yeah, absolutely. Kevin Neltife, chairman of the Board of Regents, University of Texas. We had an interview with him and Jay Hartzell, the president of the University of Texas, available on Texas Football on Saturday morning. I tell you what, they were ready to rip-roaring and ready to go on Sunday night in Austin. Jerry and I spent most of yesterday all day on the ground there on campus, visiting with people, talking to various folks, whether it's players, coaches, etc. Kevin Neltife, though, was warmed up when he went to the mic on Saturday, on Sunday night, and talked about the University of Texas and its entrance into the SEC. Here's some video that CJ Vogel took of the event.
Cocktail in the Grove and play Ole Miss. I hope we see you all at DKR, Moody, Dishbalk, and all of our sporting events. We need you there. You come find me. I'll buy you a beer. We'll put it on Del Conte's tab. In the famous words of Pitbull, Mr. International, tonight, I want all of you tonight. Give me everything tonight. For all we know, we might not get tomorrow. Let's do it tonight. We may have a bit of a headache in the morning, but when we wake up, we'll be in the SEC. This is an historic moment for all of us, and we're all proud to be a small part of it. May God bless all of us gathered here tonight. May God bless all the student athletes in all of the SEC teams. And may God continue to bestow a special blessing on the great state of Texas. It is now my honor and privilege to introduce the man that made this all possible.
Good stuff there from Kevin Neltife. I told you he's fired up. That sounded like a campaign speech.
Yeah.
He was ready to go, man. That guy will get you juiced up. He needs to lead a few pep rallies and put the tab on Chris Del Conte, by the way.
Yes.
What'd you think of yesterday, Jerry?
I thought it was great. Great for the University of Texas. Great for the fan base. I thought everybody was fired up. I thought, you know, it was just a great environment. And look, we know by now that CDC, President Hartzell, Neltife, they know how to, I call it putting on a show, but that's what you're supposed to do for a fan base. You're supposed to make them excited about the future and the present. And I think Chris Del Conte continues to do a great job of that in the University of Texas. Hey, by the way, I want to say this. If you have friends, anybody you know down in the Windward Islands, say a little prayer for them, because they're about to get hit with a 4+, maybe 5 by the time it's all over.
You're talking about that a hurricane. Coming in, it looks like it's coming through the Gulf. They're projecting it right now, so everybody needs to get ready for that. Hey, I want to say this before we get going. I do want to talk about John Donovan, our sponsor. But before I do that, I don't want people to put in Super Chats today. So if you're thinking about doing a Super Chat to ask a question, I'd prefer you guys to do this. And Blake, I sent you a link that I want to put up there. I was contacted by folks at the Freer Independent School District. That is the hometown of Steve McMichael. As you guys know, Steve was elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame a little over a couple of months ago. His induction, sir, he's currently has MLS. So he is, or ALS, excuse me. So he is fighting his own battle. But on August 3rd, he's getting inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, along with guys like Julius Peppers, Patrick Willis, Andre Johnson, Devin Hester, He is going to be up there. And they have asked, the Pro Football Hall of Fame folks have asked the Freer High School Band to go up there and perform. So if you don't know where Freer is, it's south of San Antonio. It is a rural school district. And I think the total cost of the trip is $21,000. Okay. They have created a GoFundMe right now that Blake is going to put up in the chat link so that you guys will have it. $20,000 is the goal. They've already raised $1,000 plus, just started over the weekend. I put in $100. This is to get these young people up there to celebrate Steve McMichael. And so if you have it in your heart, and don't do a super chat today, we'll try to get to everyone's questions. Please help this group of people get up there, young people, have the time of their lives celebrating a Longhorn legend at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Again, Blake will put that link in the chat. We'll also put it on the website as well. So thank you so much for that, if you don't mind. I appreciate it.
All right, Bobby, go ahead and tell the folks out there about Longhorn Wealth Management while you're at it.
Yeah, absolutely will. Our friend John Donovan, saw him yesterday. He was out there at the event, got a chance to talk with him. He saw Anthony Hill, he told me, and he was a little surprised by how big Anthony Hill was, Jerry. Not surprising there. John is the owner and operator of Longhorn Wealth Management. Really good guy. He has been sponsoring On Texas Football for quite a while. He is a proud Texas Exes grad, our life member, whose wife and six siblings are all also UT grads. Over 40 of the Donovan clan just celebrated their family reunion in Austin this past weekend. That explains their connection to UT and why it's so strong, and why John branded his firm Longhorn Wealth and has dedicated his firm to providing total wealth management for Texas alums, employees, families, and friends. Yesterday, John joined us on campus for the UT SEC kickoff party, where John congratulated Chris Del Conte and all of the UT leadership on officially joining the SEC. As you may know, John's a certified financial planner with more than 30 years of experience, and he wants to offer every OTF member and fan a free 90-minute consultation to explore how Longhorn Wealth can help you and your family maximize your wealth, minimize your taxes, and secure your own financial future and legacy. Go just give John and the Longhorn Wealth team a call, 972-707-4900, to schedule your own 90-minute free consultation. That's longhornwealth.net.
All right, guys. I want to thank them for sponsoring each and every Monday right here on Texas Football's Coffee and Football. And, you know, obviously the SEC movement going on, but a lot going on with recruiting still. A lot of stuff didn't go the way Texas fans had anticipated, Jerry Hamilton. But a chance at redemption this week, possibly?
Possibly. We'll see. Smith Orogbo, the four-star edge out of A-League Hastings, will announce his decision right around 3 p.m. today. Checked in with somebody very close to that recruitment on Friday and was told Texas, Washington, maybe a little bit ahead of Oklahoma and Texas Tech. Yesterday, more Texas, Oklahoma, then Washington and Texas Tech, or Texas Tech and Washington. Didn't really list them in order other than maybe Texas or Oklahoma was the most likely decision. We'll see. I think we'll have a clearer picture by around lunchtime. He's going to announce at 3 p.m. Texas has been in contact multiple times here in the last 48 hours. Johnny Nansen, Kenny Baker, all defensive staff. So Texas doing everything they can here to get Smith Orogbo, and we'll see which way it goes. Later this week, Jonathan Cunningham, the four-star from North Crowley, linebacker, he told me yesterday that he will announce July 5th, and that is that's going to be Texas, TCU, or Utah. Then on July 6th coming up, Cade Phillips, the defensive back, four-star out of Hightower, Texas or LSU, with Texas being in a pretty good spot here in the last week for him. I talked about Aiden Anding yesterday as well. He bumped back his decision till late July so he can go visit LSU after that Friday offer. So I think we know which way that ship is sailing right now. And we'll see if anybody else moves up some timelines too here in the next few days of July. Obviously, Marco Jones, the edge out of San Ramon, up in Northern California, He's expected to go to Michigan or USC. I think Texas made the push for Smith or Ogbonn. We'll see how that turns out for Texas. Then Caleb Edwards, a tight end from Northern California, is expected to commit elsewhere, probably maybe Alabama or Oregon, on July 2nd. But obviously Texas's push is with Nick Townsend, who announces July 8th. So big week coming up for Texas.
Jerry, what do you make of this Oregon dashing of hopes a little bit for the Longhorns on Josiah Sharma and Dorian Brew? And that's not the only one. I mean, look, Michael Terry is sitting out there at Alamo Heights as well. What are your thoughts on the Ducks right now playing spoiler of sorts for the Longhorns?
Well, and I think Oregon's going to end up being your competition for DeCorian Moore as well. Michael Terry, you know, that could – Michael Terry is such a wild card because that just goes to – what are people telling him he's going to play? What's the reality of what he's going to play? And where do him and his family fall with that reality versus what you're being told? So I think that one will be interesting. Oregon was talking to Michael Terry about running back, but Jordan Davison just committed. So what does Terry now think? Well, you know, could I be a running back at Oregon if they just took Jordan Davison? But we know this about Oregon. They're playing for keeps, right? And with Will Stein and Rashad Samples being hired, Dan Lanning really wants a strong presence in the state of Texas. So that's going to continue. But we'll see what happens there. You know, Michael Terry's been, unless he really moves off his timeline, and I'm going to make a call on that later today when I'm on the road, that was looking more like an August type of timeline as of a few days ago. So we'll see if he's going to move up his timeline or not. But that was one of the recruitments that could go into the start of the season or a couple of games into the season. That's as of last week. We'll see where it's at this week.
Good stuff there. And then, Jerry, dead period. I know, obviously, going on right now. How long does that last until?
Until late July. And then colleges will have what's called their, you know, their pool parties, their barbecues, whatever. And that's a lot of 2026 recruits, maybe a couple of 2025s that are in the balance, but that's the majority of 2026 recruits that you're trying to get on campus right before the season begins. You'll have some commits there as well in 25 class, but that's going to end late July, opens it up that last weekend in July for one visit weekend for these schools right before they head into August practices.
Good stuff. And then, Bobby, I know you told people not to put in any super chats, but this happened right before you said that. And G Love said he's still going to donate, but he wants to know, has Bobby ever thought about moving back to Texas?
Every day. My wife and I have that conversation. For those of you who don't know, I live in a suburban Nashville, Tennessee. I moved there in 2004, way back in the day, when I was one of the owners and executives at rivals.com, and that's where headquarters were. Then that's where the headquarters were for 24/7. And then that's where the headquarters were for On3. I'm back in Austin at least once a month, probably more than that now. It's something I've thought of for sure. Going to be in Jerry. We got, by the way, talking about being in Texas, we've got the SEC Media Days coming up in just 2 weeks. You realize? You talked about 61 days away, Blake, from the university or from the football season. I mean, we're 2 weeks away from Media Days, which means then we're 2 weeks away from fall practice. Guys, we are literally 30 days away from the football getting back on the field. This is another thing we needed to bring up and wanted to talk about a little bit today too. At the Manning Passing Academy over the weekend, CJ Vogel was there for 2 days, had a report on Friday and Saturday. For those of you that haven't heard about that and are just rejoining from the weekend and getting back into the flow of things, Quinn Ewers looked extraordinarily good, according to multiple people I talked to, not just to CJ Vogel, but a couple of pro scouts that were there over the weekend. Quinn is looking better physically, and man, are those settings made for him, Jerry?
Yeah.
He is tremendously accurate and has the arm to make all the throws. He had a really nice week in Thibodaux, Louisiana.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out because Quinn Ewers is trying to come on and be the guy, in my opinion.
And look, he's more confident. He's going into year three. He's stronger. He's up to 208, 210 pounds. The goal's 215 pounds by the start of the season. He's tracking towards that. So he's a more confident guy. He knows the ins and outs of the playbook. He knows what his head coach wants. They have a longer standing on-field quarterback coach, whether it's Milwee-Sark relationship. He's in a better position to help new receivers adapt quicker, which 2 years ago, he needed other people's help to adapt quicker. So totally different position he's in. Physically, he's added about 12 pounds since last season. Good weight, stronger, more confident. And now he's just got to take the next step on the field this year. Red zone, whether that's red zone, where that's a little more accuracy on a deep ball, more on the sidelines than the middle of the field, along the sidelines. If he does those two things, he's off and running. Hey, I wanted to bring up something because I think it's very interesting.
Go ahead.
All right, Chance has a question. Jerry, is your job reading these recruitments more difficult with NIL? It seems that trying to read these recruitments the same way doesn't work any longer, at least on some. I think it's two-part. I think NIL definitely has a – it plays a part. I mean, look, Josiah Sharma told multiple colleges Friday, including people at the at Folsom, that he was headed to Texas. There was even quotes about picking Texas. That changed. But I think more than anything is our industry, guys, is the mad rush, the push to make your crystal ball picks and all this maybe forced upon you at times within the industry makes for the way fans react to this a little different. Because I do think sometimes people are forced from a business perspective to make these picks earlier. And once you're out there with the picks, the fans see it on social media as you're trying to build companies and whatnot, and people run with it. But some of that's marketing. But fans don't take it that way. So, and shouldn't take it that way. But as this process has moved earlier, these picks have moved earlier. And what has that caused? Confusion. So that's just part, a little part of something that causes some of this as well.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, guys. We got a couple of questions, Jerry. A lot of the same questions. People want to know about your highs, such as Joe here. Jerry, where are we at with the highs now?
I can tell you that none of the guys that committed were that. Yeah, I'm not jumping out there on D-line guys now. Those are way too crazy of battles. If I ever put in a early high for a D-lineman, I might need to be medicated. So, no, none of the guys that committed. I mean, look, Dorian Brew, that was never a recruitment. And we talked about this. Texas wanted a weekend official visit. They never got him in for a weekend official visit. It was a midweek official visit. That's different from a Nathan Tillman recruitment, who was a kid who decommitted. You had to get him on campus because you offered him later. A guy like Dorian Brew, you've been recruiting for a year. You didn't get him on campus for a weekend visit. And what's interesting there is, I think the Oregon pick may have caught even a couple of schools that are recruiting them off guard a little bit. And that's not to say anything about, negative about Oregon, but that's not one that we ever kind of thought once Texas didn't get a weekend visit, we're going to win. That's one Texas may have thought they were in the final two, but they ended up being in the final four, not the final two.
There you go. Hey, Jerry, the one thing that's bothersome to me right now, and I talked to you about this off air late last night, you know, after we finished last night's live stream, I'm a little concerned that Texas is finishing second on too many guys. And what does that actually mean? And what I mean by that is it seems to be blank or Texas. And the last 72 hours, it's been the or. You know what I mean? It's been the other team. The problem with that is that typically means something is stopping them from getting over the hump. What do you think that might be right now? Or is this just an anomaly that it's playing out with a few players?
I'm not sure if I could put my finger on it 100%. You know, I think there's a few factors. I think there's a decision, not saying today, later this week, that maybe if a kid doesn't pick Texas, he's just not sure how soon he can get on the field versus another place. That's always a part of some of these recruitments as well. I think on the defensive side, I think D-line recruiting wise, Kenny Baker got in late. So I think that, you know, coming from the NFL, you'll see better relationships, longer standing relationships in the 26 class. I don't think you'll see Johnny Nansen being as much part of a recruitment for a Josiah Sharma level prospect in 26 as he was in 25. Same with a Jeff Banks being very involved in Myron Charles, because Jeff Banks had to go through that school and kind of get that recruitment started prior to Kenny Baker getting to Texas. So I think some of those things are going to change. I also think Texas needs to have a good year on the field defensively, guys. I really do. And that's, it's not about rankings, defensive rankings. I just think the product on the field needs to be really good this season, year one in the SEC, with all the expectations to maybe help Texas push to get over that hump on a couple of three kids. Because they're going to still – one thing we know about Sark, they're still going to recruit these guys. There are some guys that are committed, not all of them, some of the kids that are committed elsewhere now, they're going to recruit those guys, and they're going to stay on those guys. It won't be a shock if a couple of those guys were on campus during the season. You know, you guys know how Sark is. He plays the long game in recruiting. But, Bobby, to your point, especially defensively, I think right now they're finishing second on too many guys.
Yeah, that's where it comes out. That's why I'm asking. I mean, how do you – you know, it's not enough data yet to say that it's happening too often or too frequently, Jerry. I think, but it has happened quite a bit. Let's see if that continues. Today may be a proxy for that at some level, because Smith Orogbo announces at 3:00. That's the defensive end out of Alief Hastings that Texas has been recruiting. And Jerry, the thing that's interesting, last week you said that he was saying, Smith Orogbo was saying it was Texas and Washington. And then you said you talked to him yesterday, and now it's Texas and more Oklahoma.
But all four still in consideration. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this is one of those that we need to see exactly where that takes place and goes from there as well. So good stuff. Hey, Jerry, another guy that I did not mention, and I know you talked to him yesterday and wanted to get an update. Jonathan Cunningham, linebacker out of North Crowley. Tell folks where he's at in his recruitment as well.
Yeah, he announces July 5th, and that'll be Texas, Utah, or TCU. And I think he's been a lean to Texas at times. At other times, it's been more of, you know, is there better opportunity earlier in his college career at other places? So I think it'll be interesting as those conversations, the rest of the conversations happen this week with Sarkisian, Johnny Nansen, where that goes as far as does Jonathan Cunningham have any one or two questions left for Texas and what is the answer he gets from that. But he's scheduled to announce July 5th. Cade Phillips from Hightower's July 6th, as we said earlier. That is Texas looking good over LSU right now. Is that why LSU offered Aiden Anding? A lot of people think it was because of Jabari Antoine. Was it because they weren't trending with Cade Phillips anymore is why LSU went all in on Anding? I think LSU was way late to the party on Anding as a prospect, but that doesn't mean they're not going to get him at the end of July. I just think they should offer that guy a long time ago in state and Ruston. But was that the reason for the LSU now push on Aiden Anding? Everybody tied it to Jabari Antoine, but was it more because Cade Phillips was trending in Texas? I think we'll know on July 6th. Somebody's asking about Riley Pettijohn in July. Don't know if his date's been made public yet. If it is, I didn't see it yesterday, but I think he's expected in July. I actually think DeCorian Moore is going to announce sometime in July and maybe not wait until August 7th, 8th, 9th when Colin Simmons did last year. I think he may be later in July as well.
And then kind of going back
to – go ahead. Okay. I was going to ask you about baseball.
Yeah.
A lot of news coming out. People that did not hear us over the weekend, big baseball news. I mean, look, Longhorns not only hired Jim Schlossnagel. I thought he did a good job, by the way, yesterday of
Agreed.
Answering questions about his decision. I thought that he did really, really well. He said, I knew it would be nuclear when I moved from A&M to Texas, but I didn't know it'd be apocalyptic, whatever. However you say that word. I thought it was very interesting. And so that's one of those things that was, I really believe that Texas hired a great coach. But what's happened in the interim or since then is that A&M went out on a big hire spree, trying to get the best of the best. I'm told they came up short on Vitello out of Tennessee late Saturday night. And early Sunday morning, they instead tabbed one of Schlossnagel's key assistants. Blake, I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, so a ton actually went down this weekend after hiring Schloss. As Bobby said, Michael Early was hired by A&M to be their new head coach. Early was going to be the hitting coach here for the Longhorns. But, yeah, they're going to spin it, guys. They're going to say, oh, this was our choice. This was blah, blah, blah. It wasn't their top choice. It wasn't their top three or four choice. They had to go down the list. They were turned down by a few names, including Vitello, as Bobby mentioned, which was a little bit closer than people think. But so he was announced, or I think he's going to be announced officially today, if memory serves me correctly. But he's going to be taking Caleb Longley with him. Longley was an assistant coach under David Pierce here in Austin over the past few years. Those two worked together at Arizona State. So that is another loss for the Longhorns. And then I've heard that they're going to hire Jason Kelly, the Washington head coach, and he's going to head to College Station to be their pitching coach, which a lot of people are going to say, that's a weird move. But Bobby said it best in our group text last night that the Big Ten is not a baseball conference. So I definitely get that move by Kelly. But that did open the door for Texas to hire Tulo back. Troy Tulowitzki, a lot of Longhorn fans love him, and they'll be glad to hear that he is back. He's going to be the hitting coach along with working with the infielders. So in my opinion, that's an upgrade at the position. They also announced the hiring of Drew Bishop, former player, former staffer who was, I think he was 11, maybe 13 years working at Texas after his playing career was over. He will be the director of baseball ops. That's huge for a number of reasons, especially with his ties to recruiting and being involved with Five Tool and things like that. And then they announced the hiring of Chuck Fox as well as the director of player development. He had spent the previous 3 years in the same role at Texas A&M and was a pretty successful high school coach in Mississippi before being hired by Schloss at A&M. And then that was pretty much it on the whole staff musical chairs, I guess you could say. But some other big news, Texas went out and got Aiden Moffitt. He's a pitcher from LSU. He didn't have the best of numbers, but I've been told that Texas loves his potential. They really think they can get a lot out of him starting next year. And then the really big news that came out yesterday afternoon around 4:30 was Easton Winfield. And Easton Winfield, one of the top portal transfers in the nation, probably like a top 3-4 guy. He's an All-American outfielder as a freshman at Louisiana Monroe. Expects him to contribute right away. And I've been told that Texas isn't done yet, so stay tuned. But, man, just so much happening. Yesterday was like a whirlwind of news, just pop, pop, pop.
I want to leave this quote up here from Michael Valdez, and I got something to say. Aggie's now saying Michael Early was the reason for the success of the program the last 3 years. If that's true, and I'm sure that's the spin, why wasn't he the first option, Aggie fans? Why wasn't he the hire immediately? Exactly. See, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't, man. Your character assassination of Schloss on Texags every day is ridiculously dumb and quite pitiful when you had the guy on your show twice a week for years kissing his ass. That's pitiful by them right now. I'm just going to say it right now. That's a pitiful attempt. But here's the other thing about Tony Vitello. You know what the difference between A&M and Texas is? He would have taken the Texas job.
Jerry coming in on fire.
Jerry just letting it be known, my man.
It's just ridiculous, man. You can't sit there and get on these shows and character assassinate the guy you were kissing his ass for 3 years saying how great he was. It doesn't work that way. If A&M fans are buying that, just throw your money away.
Or who went to their wedding, by the way. Yeah. that was the one that got me. Oh, they went to my wedding. Well, how could they leave A&M if they went to my wedding?
And yes,
I mean, Tony, come on, dude. They've got a job.
That's the difference.
They've got a job. They are the coaches are not like fans. They've got a job to do. And if you don't understand that, I don't know what to tell you if you're a reporter trying to cover a team. Hey, Jerry, I wanted to ask you and talk a little football here and get back to it, because we saw quite a few guys on campus yesterday walking through Got to see, we mentioned Anthony Hill already, visited with him and his dad for a little bit. Anthony Hill looks terrific. His dad looks like he might still be able to play a little football too. By the way, he looked big. Jelani McDonald came through. We saw him and his family as well, or at least you guys did. And then Trevor Goosby, Jerry, was also there. You also asked Trevor and talked to him a little bit about his brother, Austin, the basketball player that got offered by Texas. What's going on with that? And tell people a little bit about your conversation with Trevor Goosby.
Yeah, Trevor Goosby, first of all, we posted a photo on Texas Football Twitter and on OnTexasFootball.com. Looks great physically. Those arms, I'm not sure his arms have gotten longer, but they look like they have. But 80-plus inch wingspan, looks really good physically. This is his – he has one more year of development time. And him and his family came in with a plan for development, learning under Kyle Flood. They know, look, if there's an injury and you're called upon, you got to be ready this year. But they also know this is another key year of development before the spring. And that's when his clock really starts, is this spring after Kelvin Banks goes pro after this year. So another big year of development. There's a great understanding and feel for that process within the family. Looks great physically, though. Jelani McDonald looked really good physically as well yesterday. He looks, you know, coming out of high school, we all wondered, would he end up being a 230-pound safety? What was he going to be? He looks like he's going to be a 210, 215-pound guy, and that's where he's going to fluctuate, and that's where he's going to live. It's going to be hard for me to see him being 230, 235 one day. Ryan Niblett looked really good physically. As well. Anthony Hill looked great. But then I did ask Trevor about Austin Goosby, his little brother, who's vaulting into the top 20 or so, 2026 basketball prospects in the country. Texas offered him recently at the TABC event where Alabama, Oklahoma, Kansas State, you name it, they're all offering him now. I think Texas has more than a puncher's chance at Austin Goosby in 2026 as a basketball player. And he looks like a guy that could be a future NBA guy for sure. And maybe you see how he ascends here in July, but he looks like a guy that's going to have a chance to be a McDonald's All-American. So he's really ascending at the right time. He's up 6'5 and a half, 6'6 now as well. Plays at shooting guard, plays on the wing, really good basketball player. But Texas offered him, and Trevor is so happy for his brother. Not just the Texas offer, but the dozen or so offers he's picked up now. A lot of blue bloods. I mean, Duke, North Carolina, Kansas offered him as well. Duke's calling. I mean, everybody is taking a look at Austin Goosby, and Trevor had that really proud smile on his face talking about that yesterday.
Okay, y'all, before we move on and get to some questions here and a couple of other topics, Jerry, I'm going to let you tell folks out there about Manscaped.
Well, we're on the road. Look, we got the 5.0. You got to take it on the road. Look, I mean, here's the reality, guys. It's the summer barbecue performance package time. That's right. Sizzle alert. This summer, let the only thing smoking at your barbecue be the grill, not your grooming game. Get ready for the ultimate cookout season with Manscaped. Whether you're flipping burgers or cannonballing into the pool, make sure your meat looks neat with the Performance Package 5.0 Ultra. Fire up your grooming routine and keep it cool with Manscaped. Head to manscaped.com. Use code ONTEXAS, all caps, for 20% off plus free shipping. Let's make the summer sizzle for all the right reasons. And there's the Weed Whacker 2.0. Keep your ears and nose as tidy as the hedges next door with our Weed Whacker 2.0 ear and nose hair trimmer. You don't want that. You don't want the ladies to see that, guys. Pesky hair be gone. Perfect for impressing guests at your summer workout. And, you know, guys, I have to include this. The Crop Soother, my favorite. The Ball Aftershave Lotion. Post-trim care never felt so good with the Crop Soother. Ball Aftershave Lotion. Say goodbye to painful chafing and hello to all-day comfort, even while manning the grill.
20% off with code ONTEXAS at manscaped.com. That's my part of the read.
Your meat looks neat.
Oh, come on.
Meat's going to look neat, guys.
You did not need to restate.
You got to go into the SEC with the meat looking neat.
Oh, come on. Stop.
Oh, man. Okay, now is a good time to get into some questions, guys, and we do have quite a few of them. And actually, we have a super chat. UT Boy was a little late to the show. He says, I'm going to win a ton of money in November. Hook 'em. I think he's going to be betting on the Longhorns there going into the SEC.
And going into Aggieland, I bet, is what he's talking about right now. That game rekindling after 13 years. Jerry, do you think the last week has upped the stakes at all in this rivalry? As if it needed anything to give it a jolt. I mean, Las Vegas coming to Texas, my goodness. I think that it's like we took their, it's like we took their candy, you know?
Well, it's like I said earlier, guys. They go from kissing this guy's ass on a daily basis to trying to character assassinate him. Do you think this rivalry just amped up a little bit?
Yeah. I agree with that.
They've gone from kissing his ass to trying to character assassinate him. So, yes, this rivalry just went up 100 notches.
I think that that's the part that bothers me, you know. The abrupt change of who he is. I mean, he likes to do this. I mean, where was that? He's this way on the field. He's this way with players. They didn't say a word about that when they were like three outs from winning the World Series.
No. Yeah.
No. I mean, that it's just, it reeks of sour grapes.
There would have been,
this is another Aggie falsehood that's going on right now for those people that are wondering about this. They're saying that Texas planted the idea that Schlossnagel might be a candidate by Texas firing David Pierce on the day of the final game against Tennessee. That, like, Texas wanted that out there so that Texas could get the headlines away from A&M playing for the national championship. And I'm here to tell you, I talked to Aaron Hogan about this, and he knows this as well. Texas didn't want that out. They were waiting until after the College World Series was out. The story leaked and it got out there, and that's how it happened. Texas didn't try to usurp A&M's moment in the sun. And then when I go and try to tell people that, they go, well, you did the same thing about firing Tom Herman on the day of our Orange Bowl victory. I'm like, who remembers A&M having an Orange Bowl victory?
I don't even remember they played in the Orange Bowl.
They did like five or six years ago. My point being, the world doesn't revolve around them and what they're doing on the field. If a reporter breaks a story, that just happens. If A&M happens to be playing in a bowl game and Texas does something else, I mean, look. If we wanted to play that, we could say, well, an Aggie broke the Longhorn story of going to the SEC as well. But I don't think that was positioned that way either. I'm pretty sure where Brent got Brent Zorneman got that story, and it wasn't from an A&M source. So my point being is that a lot of the Aggies can play this, woe is me, the Longhorns trying to always take our moment in the sun. It's just not true. And so as they sit there and try to deify vilify the old baseball coach that they just, thought hung the moon, now that he's a Longhorn, just makes no sense. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, so the question that needs to be asked is, if Schlossnagel would have won the national title at A&M, would they have trotted up those guys character assassinating him afterwards? You answer that one, Texas A&M fans.
Yeah.
And that's the only answer you need. Look in the mirror and answer it. If you'll lie to yourself, I guess you'll lie to everybody.
All right, let's get to some questions here, guys. We have a lot of them and plenty of time to get your questions in, so please do so. And before we get to football, let's talk a little basketball real quick. E. Kim says, good morning from Rockford, Illinois. Jerry, is recruiting for the upcoming men's basketball season finished with?
Yeah, I think Arthur Kalumet, 13 scholarships taken. Everybody's done, and he should be on campus this week. Tremont Mark a little bit later. Both those guys had some classwork there to finish up for their transferable hours. But yeah, they're working out. Had a workout yesterday before the SEC celebration. Guards are looking really good. I think the guards are vastly improved at Texas. Now, I've said this. I think this is the biggest thing. And it's big in college basketball, but really big for this Texas team. So many new faces. And a freshman that's going to be a first-round pick, could be a lottery pick, depending on how the season goes. He's definitely being talked about that in that regard. But the question there, is, to me, is going to be the big part before you get to in games. But this is part of the in game, is there's six guys that either average double figures or could average double figures. And that, I'm throwing Trey Johnson in that mix. Some of these guys are going to have to defer at times. Playing together for team, guys are going to have to defer at key situations, in late shot clock, game situations, throughout the season. That's going to be the biggest thing that Rodney Terry, Frank Haith, Steve McClain, and the staff have in front of them. There's some older guys. I mean, Jordan Pope, really good player, 17 points a game in the Pac-12 last year. Kaluma, 14.5 in the Big 12, right? Julian Larry, Jason Kidd, who are very good, by the way. Double-figure scores at Indiana State. Tremont Mark, 16.5 in the SEC. Then you have Trey Johnson, who can score it as well as anybody. Some guys are going to have to defer at times, and I think that's going to be big as you watch this team this year. Who defers? How does this thing come together? Because that's the most difficult part, I think, in college basketball now. One ball, 8-9-man rotation, guys transferring in that are used to getting the volume shot, scoring the basketball. And sometimes you come into a situation where you have to defer to other guys. And sometimes it may be a younger guy like Trey Johnson. That's what the biggest thing that's in front of this Texas team. They have a better roster than last year. We'll see how it all goes. Talent, really good roster.
And our next question, guys, as we jump over to football, we got a lot of people asking about defensive line prospects. So let's start with that. And Callum G says, good morning from Anna, Texas. I was just there a couple days ago. Jerry, what does edge recruiting look like for the 2025 class?
Well, Lance Jackson's one of the best in the country out of Texarkana, Pleasant Grove, one of the very best, and big-time baseball talent as well. Hurt his shoulder at the Under Armour camp, so that knocked him out of baseball season a lot of ways. It was a sprained AC joint, not surgery, not major. One of the best in the country, a guy that could be end up being a five-star prospect in this class. We'll have to see where the dust settles on that. I think the Smith Orogbo decision, Bobby, today is a big one. We'll see which way that goes. If Texas wins out for Smith Orogbo, Bobby, I know you would love the two edges in this class. So let's see what happens with Smith Orogbo today. If Texas got Smith Orogbo and they shut down edge recruiting, that combination would be about as good as you could get in a class for Texas.
Well, I just like the variety of the two. I think they fit very well. Lance Jackson, more of a strong side edge, 6'5", 270, right? Smith Orogbo, 6'3.5", 6'4", 220, long-armed, right? One's a natural pass rusher. One's more of a powerful pass rusher and defensive player. I really like that, and I think that's why Texas appears to be prioritizing Smith Orogbo a little bit, because he fits that kind of thought process of what Texas wants to bring in from there. So I definitely feel like that's part of it. A number of different decisions coming this week and next week. That's what we need to see. Texas has to get back going in the right direction. Hopefully that starts today with Smith. Nathan Tillman, Cade Phillips is announcing this week. There's some other guys on the line right now. They're waiting to see where and when exactly they're going to make decisions.
And our next question, guys, is going to come from Antoine, and I'm probably going to screw the first name up here, but he says, do we see Texas getting back in on Xavier Okponu, Landon Rink, Floyd Guidry, or Jackson Blackwell?
No on the first two. I could see a senior look at Floyd Guidry. I just think he's a really good player, really, really good football player. I think TCU made a great evaluation there. I think he'll have a big senior season. Question there is, he's 6'1", 285. Where does Texas come out on that size-wise? But Floyd Guidry is a very good football player. I think a number of schools, if the senior tapes, what I expect it to be, are going to try to come in and make it tough for TCU to sign him. But we'll see who that is.
And we'll follow that up with a super chat here. And we've had a lot of people join. So, Bobby, this is a good time for you to promote this once again. From Jack, thank you as always, Jack. He said, everybody match Bobby's donation. I did with 50,000 on Texas footballers. These kids are doing this for Bam Bam. And like I said, Bobby, we have had a lot of people join. So I'm going to let you kind of run that down once again.
Yeah, I actually asked folks, instead of doing super chats today, and we'll get to everybody's questions, to donate to this cause. I don't think I've done this other than for Texas One Fund since we've been doing this show for a long time. Steve McMichael has ALS, as y'all know, the former Texas player who was just elected to the Hall of Fame. On August 3rd, he is inducted into the Hall of Fame. In Canton, Ohio. As part of that, the Freer High School Band, which is where he's from, Freer is a rural town just south of San Antonio a little bit. It is having to raise funds right now to send these young students up to Canton, Ohio. They've been asked to go. They're going to rent a bus, go up there, and come back. But they want to be there for Steve McMichael, a Texas great, and have an opportunity to go up there and do that. Please, if you think about it and find it in your hearts to do something, I donated $100 to this cause because I believe in it personally. I just feel like we want him to be up there and be with people that are going to be around him. Steve has ALS. His family is there with him. His wife, even, by the way, donated to this cause as well, to give you an idea. They're not looking for a lot of money in total for, 30 kids there. It looks like they're only trying to raise $20,000. So if take the super chat money you may have put in here, or if you have it within you to give 25 bucks, 10 bucks, whatever, Blake will put a link in the chat right now so you guys can do that. I'm trying to help them out because I think this is a really, really good cause for a guy that gave a lot of his life to the University of Texas and represented Texas well on the football field and carried Longhorn. He was a Longhorn that had a lot of pride in the Longhorns. I think that's important as well. So Freer High School trying to get to Canton, Ohio for the parade for Steve McMichael and other inductees of other inductees for the Pro Football Hall of Fame this year. August 3rd.
You're muted, Blake.
Yeah, it just popped up and told me right when I started talking. All right, let's jump into some questions, guys. And Jawan says, is it crazy to say Derek Williams and Anthony Hill will be All-Americans before leaving Texas? What do y'all think?
I mean, I think Anthony Hill's on track to be that level player. It looked like he was going to be an All-American in the SEC at one point. I just don't think A&M fans thought it'd be at Texas. So, I think he's on track to be potentially. Derek Williams will be very interesting to me, Bobby. I think the key there is he going to make the plays on the ball, the splash plays, the highlight reel plays? If he does that, I do think by his junior year, he may be in the conversation for those all SEC first, second team honors, and which leads you to being on various All-American type of teams. But I think it's going to come down to plays on the ball, splash plays, how many of those big momentum changing plays does he make that are lasting? That's what I think it comes down to.
Okay, and then our next one here is from Daniel. Will Texas win the SEC before the Aggies?
Yes. And in multiple sports. How's that? Not just football. Hey, here's a good quote that just came up before we go to the next question. Pete Thamel, senior writer, college football writer for ESPN, Blake and Jerry, had this to say, or got this quote from Steve Sarkisian yesterday. Okay, listen to this one. Thamel says, interesting quote from Sark as we ponder the 12-team college football playoff. Quote, we knew the road to winning a national championship was going to go through Alabama, Georgia, and those teams. Now, you might have to go through those teams more than once. Just something to ponder. Texas entering a big conference, as we talked about the celebration yesterday, Jerry and Blake, and what that all meant. Part of this is you're going to get challenged more frequently by better teams.
Yeah.
That is the number one thing. And I wrote this on TexasFootball.com this morning. Like, I understand that the saying of the SEC is it just means more. That's their quote. They put it all over the place yesterday and on the UT campus. It just means more. And the SEC does mean more to the universities, to the cultures of those universities, to the states they're within. Sports is part of the fabric or very essence of those institutions and the people that live and call themselves fans of that team. I have no doubt compared to the Big 12. No doubt that that's the truth. Okay. The piece that I want Texas fans to understand is a lot of things can be said about it just means more, and then them chanting SEC, SEC, SEC like that, Jerry. For Texas, the one that matters the most to me, the saying, is what starts here changes the world. Okay? Because that is Texas-centric. You can't control the SEC and what other people are doing. Texas has to remain hyper-focused on Texas. Chris Del Conte and Steve Sarkisian and Jim Schlossnagel and Rodney Terry and Jarrett Elliott and Vic Schaefer, all those guys have to remain focused on the University of Texas, not on joining the SEC, even though we're celebrating this. So I have no problem with celebrating it. But I will say this, and I go back to what happened with Jim Schlossnagel at A&M. Del Conte has the right idea. Okay. He is trying to give his coaches all the resources they need. He doesn't go and talk about budgets with them. He goes and asks them, what do you need to succeed? Well, one of the reasons Jim Schlossnagel left A&M is because they cut his budget a little bit. They cut one of his people kind of in the dark of night in that Aggie bloodletting that Trev Alberts oversaw about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, when he first got the job. Okay. So I think Del Conte has that going for him. I think he's got the right idea about giving the coaches the resources. The other thing I would say is that based on what I'm being told and what I see from the chancellor the chairman of the Board of Regents and the president of the university, they're aligned with that line of thinking. And I think that Texas is taking care of Texas first and needs to keep the eye on that ball to be extraordinarily successful in the SEC or anywhere they go. And so my hope is, as we look at this, Jerry and Blake and everybody out there, is that, yes, it means more to enter the SEC. The SEC as a whole does, I think. Sports is so big to those universities. But Texas needs to remain focused on Texas. And then good things will follow. So sorry to go on that tangent, but I thought it needed to be said today because, no one's more excited about Texas entering the SEC than me. And what Chris Del Conte put on yesterday was, if you didn't get a chance to go out and see it, it was phenomenal. It really was. I mean, I got 30 texts from people that went there and just like, I can't believe this. I mean, we're basically just out here having fun, partying. It's okay to – basically, Chris Del Conte threw a party and 30,000 people showed up, 25,000 people showed up over the extended period of the day. It was awesome. But keep your eye on the ball here long term. That's going to be the key.
All right. We got some recruiting questions here. Well, I guess it is a recruiting question here from Dean. Is the head coach, coordinator, or position coach the one that really seals a commitment?
Bobby, it can be any of the above or none of the above, Jerry.
Yeah, but I say this, recruiting to me nowadays, setting aside the NIL part of it, I think it's more of a combined effort nowadays. I think head coach, coordinator, position coach, I think all really need to be involved in recruiting of a prospect. And the reason I say that is some schools that are very successful recruiting, that's what they're doing. And I think that's very important now. I think now you have to have your messaging clear between three people. If your messaging isn't the same or clear, then things can get very muddy in a recruitment. But I do think the days of position coach just recruiting a player, that's not it. You have to have the relationship, but guys aren't just going to make a decision based on that. I think the coordinator, head coach, the position coach, area recruiter, if that's part of it. But those three, I think, have to combine, present a clear picture, all be on the same page, and really win those recruitments. I just think that's what recruiting is nowadays. And I'm not saying every kid, but I think the majority of kids have to be recruited by more than one coach on a staff. So being precise with that message and that recruitment is vital.
All right. Before we move on to the next ones, Bobby, I'm going to go ahead and let you tell folks out there about John Donovan and Longhorn Wealth Management Group.
Yeah, absolutely. John joined us yesterday at the UT SEC kickoff party. And as the sign there said, the SEC just means more. Good one, John. Likewise, John wants to mean more to all of the OTF family by offering everyone his certified financial planner expertise and more than 30 years of experience in providing solutions and services in the investment, retirement, insurance, and estate planning areas of wealth management to receive your free 90-minute consultation to explore how Longhorn Wealth can help you and your family secure your own financial future. Simply call the Longhorn Wealth team at 972-707-4900, or you can schedule an appointment online. If you don't want to do the phone call, go to www.longhornwealth.net. That's www.longhornwealth.net for that free 90-minute consultation. Thanks, John, for your support of Longhorn Athletics and on Texas football.
I don't know if this has been talked about, but I just want to say this. You know, I've been kind of real with my thoughts about the Schloss thing this morning, but I mean, A&M don't leave to go to the Big Ten, man. That to me, that's like that would be such a bad move for recruiting. I would hope y'all don't do that, man. I mean, this A&M Texas rivalry needs to happen. First of all, it's fun. It's great. Think about what we're talking about here. Thinking about how amped it up it's gotten. But moving to the Big Ten, and I'm not saying it's true at all, but if it happened, what a bad move. I mean, what a bad move that'd be in recruiting. I would be totally against that for them.
Yeah.
Bobby, you got a thought on that?
It'd just be them hiding tail. You know, I think that you don't do that. I don't think they want to, but they feel like, I think some of their fans like being separated from Texas because they don't like the shadow Texas casts on them. They like their uniqueness so much that they would do something that's wrong or bad for them long term. That's my concern. They made a smart move by going to the SEC, in part because it gave them an inroads to a new conference with a higher profile than what Texas enjoyed. It was a higher profile conference than Texas. You don't run from that conference the minute, you know, Texas comes calling. Instead, you try to fight through it and win. That's my take, if you're a true fan. Hey, Jawan Akui has this good one. Jerry, you and I talked about this with somebody yesterday. It is, what should us fans expect from Jalen Gilbo this season on the field? Jerry, it's very unique. He's behind Jahdae Barron, right? But Jahdae has not been healthy all offseason. He was not healthy. He's had some foot problems that have continued to flare up. And Jalen Gilbo, Steve Sarkisian mentioned him. If there is a surprise on this defense this season, you think Jalen Gilbo actually might be the surprise or a bigger one than anybody else I mean, you think about it, I think it's entirely possible.
Yeah, I think
nobody's counting on him. Nobody's right. counting on him right now.
Right. Right. It's so interesting to me. It's like player development. You know, sometimes we just move on to the next guy, right? And we're ready for the next guy. But Jalen Gilbo is really good as a freshman when he had the start after the injury to Jahdae Barron. Then he was coming off the knee surgery. So I'm not sure he ever had both feet underneath him the way he needed to last year. But if he returns 100% healthy to where he was his freshman year, now with a year and a half more experience in college, I think he has a chance to be a really good player, because the one thing about him, and I'm not saying he'd run the fastest 40, I'm not sure he tests necessarily the best, but the one thing that guy does have, he's got, people call it the dog in him. I call it the whatever in your neck. He's got that. I call it also golden triangle area toughness. A lot of kids have, say maybe one Texas recruited way back, but he's got that about him. He's got that competitiveness, maybe that hyper-competitiveness at times, but really tough kid. I think that really is popular with Steve Sarkisian, Kwiatkowski, Johnny Nansen, Blake Gideon, Terry Joseph, all those guys on defense. I think what he brings is a toughness and a physicality and a competitive spirit that I think can put him, when he gets back on the field, I think it's going to allow him to have success, because I think football matters to him.
And our next question, fellas, comes from Horn 7. Any news on the indoor football practice facility, Bobby?
Yeah, a little bit. I talked to a professor actually yesterday while I was on campus that came by and stopped by and said hello. They are familiar with the show, et cetera. They are in the process. They've already stopped and moved out of the old Hicks School of Social Work, which means that is getting ready to be taken down. To make way for the new practice facility. So that will be upcoming. That School of Social Work is moving into the old McCombs School of Business, and they're building a new School of Business or adding on to the existing one a little bit. So that is now officially, according to people that actually work in that building, occurring. So think of it that way. That's about as good of insider update as you're going to get right now. On that stuff. Hey, this is another one, Jerry, that you and I have talked about. What do you think about the new NCAA rule change on coaches? For those unfamiliar, Texas, any school now can hire coaches, and they can coach on the field as much as they want. It's totally up to the universities about what they want to do. That means that you literally can go hire a special teams coach that doesn't go out and recruit. All they're doing is working with your kickers and punters. So this is a way where previously those guys were getting 50 to 100 grand as kind of secondary or third, just tertiary coaches. Now you can have as many as you want. What do you make of this rule, Jerry? I think it's better for the game. You know, another chance for the haves to be a little bit bigger than the have-nots in that regard.
Yeah. I think what's interesting about it, I think it's a positive as long as everybody's on the same page, right? Can there be too many cooks in the kitchen at times? We'll see. You know, I mean, that's one of the things with expanding staffs and more guys being able to actually be on field, right? You hope it works as a cohesive unit with everybody. Sometimes, you know, sometimes locker rooms aren't that way. Sometimes coaches' rooms aren't that way, right? So I think one of the things that'll be interesting with that is I think all opinions, all sets of eyes are valuable for these football programs, because I think there's so many moving pieces within games, within rosters. I think the rooms, there's so many moving pieces and parts to a football program. I think it's very valuable. You just hope that everybody's on the same page, remains on the same page. That's the only downside I see to it. And I'm not saying it's going to happen at Texas or anywhere else. It'll happen somewhere. It's inevitable. But I think as long as everybody, Sark as the head coach, CEO, can keep everybody on the same page, same goal, I think it's great.
Okay, all these next questions here, regard some more team-related stuff. Mark Valdez says, do you think we need to stop scheduling early out-of-conference games with other blue blood opponents now that Texas is in the SEC?
I hope not. Bobby, I want those games. Now, maybe if it goes – when it goes to nine conference games, Bobby, does the opinion change? But when the college football is going to expand to 16 teams eventually, it's coming. So one loss doesn't derail your season. Two losses isn't going to derail your season. It will affect your seeding if you're that level team, obviously. But I want to keep playing the Michigans, the Ohio States of the world. I want to keep playing those games. I think it's great for the fans. I think it's great for college football. I know we're going to have the playoff, but I just think it's all positives. I don't really see any negatives, but I could be wrong.
And our final question is from Horn 7 today. Is the primary football goal for the football team to win the SEC championship this year?
No. And that's one of the things I would say. This is the primary goal should be to win the national championship. And that's what I was getting at about 10, 15 minutes ago when I was talking about it. Don't get caught up in the SEC in that way. Remain focused on your goals. Texas, while winning the Big 12 was a goal of the University of Texas, the goal was winning the national championship. So you can have winning the SEC as a goal, but the goal is a national championship. Keep your eyes on the prize, the real prize. You know, that for me is the moral of the story there.
Yeah, and I'm all about, you know, look, I think the goal every year, it doesn't mean you don't have bigger goals, but I think the main goal every year is to get in the college football playoff. Because if you do, anything can happen. Find your way into the playoff.
There you go. All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode of Coffee and Football presented by John Donovan and Longhorn Wealth Management Group. It's hard to believe that Texas is now officially in the SEC, guys. As I said at the beginning, 61 days away from kickoff. So a lot of excitement in the air for multiple reasons. Bobby, Jerry, anything coming down the pipe later that y'all want to plug before we get out of here?
Smith and Rogue announces at 3, 4-star edge out of Hastings. We'll see which way it goes. Texas, Oklahoma, Washington, Texas Tech, the final four. He'll decide from one of those four at 3 p.m.
I would also add this, guys, a couple of notes. Right now, we've got baseball going on heavy. Blake, you and CJ are actually going to do a little video about what Texas needs to do to re-enter the elite of college baseball. I think that's going to be great. Blake, you'd also put up there about the very latest. If you're interested in getting the most up-to-date information possible on the Longhorns, you're going to want to subscribe to ontexasfootball.com. It's just $39.95 per year. That's $20 off the regular subscription rate, and you can become an OTF OG with us. That's right, $39.95, $20 off when you use the promo code OTFOG for ontexasfootball.com. We also have the winning drive later today. Hopefully that turns into a Smith Orogbo celebration or commiseration, whatever the case may be. But we'll be on multiple times today. Come visit us at On Texas Football, either on YouTube, podcast, wherever you get those, or at ontexasfootball.com. We'll have up-to-the-minute news and notes.
That's right. And if you haven't already, be sure to hit that like and subscribe button. We appreciate all the support that you guys have given us. And ring the bell so you're notified anytime that we go live or post a video. And between that and ontexasfootball.com, like Bobby said, you're not going to miss a thing. For Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Hook 'em.